of this title thoroughly off, but tonight I want to talk about the power of obedience. And the reason why I say that is because, you know, through obedience, there's blessing. And it's not just this submission to authority thing. I'm not talking about that. But what I am talking about this, you know what? Many people want to approach God and know that he hears them, right? Many people want to know the will of God for their lives. How many like to know have God tell you the will of God, his will for your life, right? No, okay, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do this, I'm supposed to do this. You know, many people want to hear the voice of God, right? Well, turn to John 12:49. And I want to get into some things. I kind of gave a little bit of a precept on Wednesday night when you're in prayer. How many are in prayer? Man, I'll tell you, it was good, wasn't it? We had a really good time in prayer Wednesday night. And I kind of touch on these things, but I've kind of overstepped the turkey tonight. So I know that I'll probably have to go on to next week because I'm just like that. I write down one scripture and 10 more come to me, and I have to kind of say what's important here. But John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, this is Jesus speaking, "For I have not spoken to myself, but," here we go, "the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should," what? "Speak." Now, tonight I want to get the focus on the direction of the Father. Can I just give you a little precept here before getting into some things tonight? You cannot have faith without obedience. Right. It's impossible. It's just impossible in your life. You know? Jesus here, some people believe that, you know, Jesus was a super faith person that went around doing whatever he wanted to, and he was just full of faith, and he could just focus on whatever he wanted. No, he was committed to the Father. See, that's key. If you don't understand that, you don't understand Jesus whatsoever. His whole life was just a passion for following the Father's will, being led by the Spirit, like Mr. Gary talked about. Matthew chapter 6, verse 6. Hope you're not going to be bored tonight. Because, you know, many of the faith teachers out there, you know, and we're word of faith people. I believe in faith. I am not taking anything away from faith. But when you take a scripture and you separate it and say, this is the most important, this is the most important. No, it's often in the Word, it's a portion or a part of something, right? Yes. There's certain things that there's 12, how can I say, theological rules that you need to go by when you study the Word. One of them is cross-reference. You need to have other scriptures. It says, Jesus said, out of the mouth of two or more witnesses, he'll establish his Word, right? We just can't take one scripture and just base a whole doctrine off of it. It doesn't work that way. And we just can't pick and choose whatever doctrine we want to say, right? So we got to have other things with it. So again, you know, Mark 22, we'll talk about it here in a minute, Mark 11, 22 through 26, it says, you know, "Have faith in God. If I say in this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe of those things he says, shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he saith." And don't ask me how many times I've read that scripture, right? Because anything Brother Hagin says, I'm like, yes. But we faith people focus on, I'm going to speak to the mountain. Well, guess what? There's a whole lot in the Bible that isn't mentioned that we need to obey. And really, the person I'm going to follow is Jesus. And those were his words. So I can follow those, right? But what did Jesus do? Remember, what's those little bracelets all the kids wear? WWJD? What would Jesus do? All right, thank you for the help up here. All right, I got it. I just remember the WWJD. So, but what would Jesus do? Right? See, keep that. You know, okay. I don't want to do stuff. I told my kids when they start driving, I'm gonna get a keychain that says, "Don't do anything stupid today. Love Dad." Right? That goes with, and they're gonna get the WWJD thing too, right? So they can know. Oh, what would Jesus do? Probably wouldn't do that. Okay. Matthew 6, 6, and it says, this is the Living Bible. Here we go. Jesus, now, we've talked about this 1,001 times, but we might as well make it 1,002 times tonight. Jesus said, now, well, I want to focus on here one thing in John before we leave here. It says, "But the Father sent me," right? So in John chapter 12, verse 49, it says, "For I have not spoken of myself." What is Jesus saying? Whatever I do and whatever I say, it's not because I want to, but because it's what? but the Father which sent me. So again, Jesus is sitting there saying, I am just absolutely focused on the Father's will in my life. That's it. Whatever he says, I'll do it. And in fact, when he's in the Garden of Gethsemane, he said, what? If this cup should pass, let it pass, right? What's he mean? Right before he went to the cross, he's like, Father, if there's another way to do this, let's do this, but I'm committed to do this, to go through with it. And Matthew chapter 6, verse 6 says, but when you pray, go away by yourself, Jesus is talking here, all alone, and shut the door behind you and pray to your, what? Father, secretly, and your Father, who knows your secrets, will reward you. Verse 7, don't recite the same prayer over and over as the heathens do, who think prayers are answered only by repeating them again and again. Remember, your Father knows exactly what you need even before you ask him. Here we go. Verse 9, pray along these lines. Here we go. Our what? Father in heaven, we honor your holy name. You notice how Jesus, these scriptures, number one, his focus is on the Father. Not about faith. It's about the Father. I know this probably goes against a lot of teaching out there, right? And I'm rubbing some grain. It's not about faith. It's about a person first. It's the Father. That's it. I was saying something the other night. We were talking about some things, Adrian and I were, and I said, I've just been doing some things about, you know what? What's God? What's the phrase I was using? What's God involved? What's God's part in this? What's he doing? What's he involved with? What's he saying right now? What's the Father doing? What's he saying right now? See, I'm not trying to figure out, okay, what do I want to do? Because I've made messes before, and I've had to clean them up, and God's kind of helped me do that, right? But we need to know, God, what are you doing in this situation? What are you saying in this situation? Where are you leading me in this area? And so Jesus starts out, and he says, we need to, first of all, our Father in heaven. So the Lord recognizes the Father absolutely at the very beginning. We honor your holy name. We ask your kingdom come now. May your what will be done on earth as it is in heaven. See, when we get into this religious prayer set, and you know, a lot of kids learn it when they're little, what we call the Lord's Prayer. There's so much revelation in this that he is saying, okay, Father, I recognize you. And really the most important thing here is your will on earth. Your will be manifest here on the earth. You know what? Jesus, that's whole his whole life was God the Father's will being manifest on the earth. And Jesus was a vessel or a tool to manifest the presence of God here on the earth. Because, well, I don't believe that. Well, let's just go back and say, Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen what? The Father, right? So anything Jesus says or does, it's an absolute reflection of the Father. And guess what? The Holy Spirit's ministry is an absolute reflection of Jesus here on the earth. So the Holy Spirit is a reflection of Jesus, which Jesus is a reflection of the Father. Amen. There's no separation. It's all the same, right? Remember growing up as a kid, I remember my parents, I'd say something to my mom, and she'd say, what'd your dad say? And then my dad said, what'd your mom say? Why? Because when we go to the Word, the Holy Ghost is going to say, what did Jesus say? And Jesus can go, what did the Father say? Well, there you go. There's no separation there. Christ acknowledges the Father and his will and for it to be manifest in the earth. I want to ask you this. How many people are going to God with their agenda? Right? How many people seek him first? Lord, what do you think? What do you think in this? What should I do? What should I do? What should I do? Mark 11:22. We're going to get into some things, and guess what? God gives us things, and there's a plan A, and there's no plan B. When you read in the Word, there's no plan B. God said, I need you to do this. If you don't, with Noah, there was no plan B, right? It was just a plan A, and that was it. God said, go build a boat, go do this, go do this. Noah could have come back. I don't have time. This is crazy. I've got my business going on here. I've got this going on. No, there's no plan B, right? And so Mark 11, 22 says, this is Living Bible. In reply, Jesus said to his disciples, if you have faith in your faith, if you have faith in your plan, right? That sounds like a great motivational thing, doesn't it? If you've got faith in your plan, right? That's completely unbiblical, right? Now, it doesn't mean we don't, you know, if we have businesses that we don't, or work or whatever, we don't use our brain, we plan and we have strategies and we get education, and I'm not saying that at all. What I am saying is whether or not God's telling you to pull the trigger, move forward or not, right? And then if you do, just go for it. But Jesus' whole focus here, if you have the faith in what? God. If you got God on the scene, if you got God in the situation, right? See, we don't, and I'll just say this, we focus too much in the faith area, and it's good. There's some merit to it, but we focus on the absolute truth. You can say, we again, it's important to say, we're speaking the word. We say to this mountain, rise up and fall into the Mediterranean, and your command and your command will be obeyed. All that's required is that you really believe and have no doubt. Listen to me. You can pray for anything if you believe you have it, it's yours. But when you are praying, and then he talks about forgiveness. Now, Christ acknowledges, the Lord acknowledges the Father in regards to faith here. See, yeah, there's hand in hand all throughout the scripture, right? See, I'm saying. Well, is God on it? 1 John 5:14. I'm going somewhere, trying to go somewhere. I think we're going to get into some interesting stuff here before long, so hold on to your bridges. We're going somewhere. Amen. Guys, we need to be led, especially in the days to come. I mean, there's just crazy stuff happening. Wouldn't you like to know what to do with your money, with the economy the way it is? Hello? You know, I mean, I'm not going to tell you what, because I'm a finance guy, so that's all I do. But the Lord spoke to me to do some very unconventional things with my finances and timing. Sorry. It just doesn't make sense. But I'm not doing things according to, because everything in my financial mind goes, I shouldn't be doing this. Right? I should not be doing this. But on the inside, I keep going, man, I got to be doing some things different here. Right? We'll talk more about it here in a minute. Not my finances, but the will of God, right? So do tell us, Pastor. But again, it's you got to do what the Holy Spirit leads you to do often, you know? 1 John 5:14 says, and this is the confidence we have in our faith, in our speaking, in our whatever, no, in him, right? You notice how John says we need to have confidence in what? Him. It all begins with the Father, guys. I'm telling you right now, it's not, you know, it's not the self-help books. Those can be helpful. Those can be, you know, we can listen to the latest, you know, blab it and grab it and everybody other preacher. And, you know, I respect a lot of those ministers, but because they got some great things to say, but the confidence that we have is in him. That if we ask anything according to what? His will. Here's where we need to dig in. Number one, we got to have confidence in him. And number two, you've got to have a rhema word on if it's his will or not. Yeah. Right? You've got to have I've told this on Wednesday. I've said it before. Years ago, I had a business and it was like on the inside. I kept having this, you know, I wanted to do it. So I did it. It was an absolute disaster. I ended up, you know, getting in debt, paid it all back. It all worked out. But the problem is, I was trying to get God to bless my mess. Right? You know? And I'm sure I'm not the only one here that's ever missed it. But what happened was, you know, I'm doing my own thing, and I want to do this stuff, and I want to, he's wanting me to go to Bible college, and I'm like, no, thank you. I got better things to do, Lord. You know, I'm trying to talk God into it, you know, like trying to say, but, you know, I'm not designed for that. I went to school and did this, and I did this, and, you know, I'm throwing everything, and he's like, mm-mm. Are you done yet? Are you done yet? So I loved it because then I'd wake up at like 2 o'clock in the morning, you know, straight up, I couldn't sleep, and he's like, you're going to go to Rhema, you're going to Bible college. It was like every other night, I wake up, I'm like, I'm not getting any sleep here, Lord. I was getting mad after a while, you know. I told Adrian, I was like, I can't sleep at all. Every time I wake up, it's like, I keep going, go do this. And it just kept on me and on me and on me, right? Well, every natural situation and everything in the natural said that we had a home we really liked, great church, had a good, you know, pretty decent job. Everything was great. We were comfortable. We were leadership in a church. I mean, everything's, in the natural, it sounded like we were nuts. Right? But it's his will. See? And doing his will be blessed. Then it goes on, according to what? His will. So we need to be led by the Spirit, right? When you have a word on something and you know it's down on the inside, it's the right thing to do, you'll have faith for it. Why? Because you've got confidence of the Father that you've heard from the Father, and then you'll have faith for it. Right? We went down there, and it was a mess. I'm telling you right now, it was not easy. God calls you to do things as His will. It doesn't mean that things are just going to be pie in the sky, right? We went to Rhema. We were broke. You know, we still had our house, eventually sold. Right? So, you know, everything's not just wonderful, peachy, keen, just fabulous all the time. It's just not, you know, unicorns and rainbows, guys. It's going to be, you see in the Bible, it's sometimes a struggle. And we're going to see that here in just a minute. But everything the Word emphasizes is the Father's will. Everything. All the way to Genesis, all the way to Revelation, it's all about the Father's will. Why? Because He knows what's best for you, and He knows how He designed you. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1. We're going to get some interesting things here in a minute. Are you awake?
Yep.
You sure? Okay. All right. I just want to make sure. Thank you. Good. I'm glad. Hebrews 11, 1 says, now faith, I'm going to kind of move through some scriptures here. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Right? People say, well, I'll believe it when I see it. You don't need faith at that time, right? If I plop, you know, I'll believe money when I get it in my hand. Okay, well, whatever. But here we go. Verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is what? Impossible to please Him. See, it's not our ability to believe, but it's our ability to what? Please Him. This faith walk that we're walking, it's not about my will. It's not Burger King, do it your way, any way you want it. It's the Father's will. That's it. It's what the Father wants. That Jesus' whole life was all about walking out what the Father told Him to do. And this is, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. For he that comes to God must believe that He is, and a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. So again, it's His will. But when we seek after Him, His will, then what? Then we're going to get rewarded for it. Okay, Genesis chapter 1. Now we're going to get into some stuff tonight. That was my intro. Is that okay? All right. We'll be here another 4 hours. Is that okay with you guys? I'm kidding. Maybe. Genesis chapter 12, verse 1. Now, let's look at Abraham because he is a father of faith, right? Okay? He is a father of faith. Of our faith. And it says here in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, it says, now the Lord said unto Abram. Everybody say, the Lord, said unto Abram. Okay, so Abram just didn't decide, hey, I'm going to do this. This sounds like a great idea. I saw this on an infomercial, right? It says, get out of your country and from your kindred and from your father's house unto a land that I've shown you. Verse 2. And I will make you a make you a great nation. I will bless you and I will make your name great and you'll be blessed. I will bless them that bless you and curse them that curse you. And in all shall families be blessed. Abraham, here we go. What did he do? He stayed right there. And he prayed that God would bless his plan. See, God said, this is the plan. And then in verse 4, Abraham what? Departed. Abram departed. What is God saying? Guess what? The blessings are over here, but you're over here. We need to take some action. You need to go where I told you to. That obedience will activate some blessings in your life, right? I love it. So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him. I love that. Verse 4, just like Abraham did what God told him to. And Lot went with him, and Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. So guess what? You can be 75 years old, and you can still start new adventures. Isn't that great? God is still into these things. So again, God commanded Abraham that the blessing in his destiny was not where he was currently at. It didn't matter how much Abram prayed, read scriptures, he would not fulfill his destiny outside of obedience, right? See, this is where faith and obedience have got to be hand in hand for things to be activated in our life, right? Again, God said, the blessing is over here, you're here. You need to go from point A to point B. That's where the blessings are at. See, we're trying to get God, too many people in Christianity, we're trying to get God to bless our plan, right? We're just believing for this, and we're 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 believing for this. Where's God in all this stuff, right? Well, I'm going to start this business, I'm going to do this. Did God tell you to do that? Are you led? Do you get a witness about that? Did he speak to you about that? Here we go also. The Lord said to Abram and Sarai, later Abraham and Sarah, that they would have a child, right? But here we go. We're going to find out when you get outside the plan, right? You're trying to do things. Abram and Sarah decided to take things in their own hands through Hagar and had Ishmael. All right? So here's God. He just told them in Genesis chapter 12 that he was going to be blessed. There would be nations coming from him. All the earth would be blessed because of him and this and this and this. And then we see here in Genesis 16, 12, and this is what the Lord spoke over Ishmael. Now, if you don't understand what Ishmael is the genealogy through Islam. A lot of the descendants through Islam came through Ishmael. And what does it say here? The Lord said, he says, verse 6, Genesis 16, 12, and it says, and he will be a wild man. His hand will be against every man, and every man's hand against him, and he shall dwell in the presence of all of his brethren. Right? So, we've got an Ishmael on our hand, which is what? God did not tell him and Sarai and Hagar to do that, right? God said that Abraham and Sarah would have a child. What happened? They tried to do their own thing. They got outside of the plan of God. Then what happened? A big mess. Great big mess. Samuel, 1 Samuel 13, 22 says, it is better to obey than to sacrifice, right? I mean, literally, let's just say this. Abraham and Sarah just said, it's not happening in our time frame. We've got to make something happen here. But you know, the interesting thing was, when God changed their name, this is thinking now, from Abram to Abraham and Sarah to Sarai, so he changed Abraham's name from Abram to Abraham, which means father of many nations. Within the year, they had their son. Because it's a thinking, right? Okay, you're bored with that. All right. Genesis chapter 37. Are you catching on tonight? You guys knew this stuff already. I don't know why I'm even talking about this stuff, right? You guys got it all down. Genesis chapter 37. Now, I'm going to talk about Joseph here in a minute. I'm going to get it a little bit. I just kind of mentioned some things Wednesday night, but I'm going a little deeper here. But Genesis chapter 37, God gives Joseph dreams about his future, right? What about the wheat bowing down to each other? And really what it came about was his brothers would come and bow down to him. Now, Joseph, I always debate about this. I always think about things like, if Joseph hadn't opened his big mouth, you know, because Joseph was the one that told his brothers, hey guys, guess what? You're all going to bow down to me. And they couldn't stand him already, you know? So you got this little, the baby brother here that's running his big mouth, you know, shooting his big mouth off, and dad already thinks he's a favorite. So this is the ultimate no-no, right? And I just think, if what would have happened if Joseph would have kept his mouth shut and kept it to himself, you know, with a little bit, but, you know, he was a kid, he just didn't have any wisdom, and he's just all zealous and everything, and so his brothers got jealous and got mad, and we know that, those of you who know, he obviously got sold into slavery, you know, and everything. Okay, you know, I was just thinking about this because I picked up some silver today. You know, I thought Joseph got sold for, I'm going to do a calculation here. You guys don't mind if I do a calculation here? So I get my calculator out here. Because Joseph was sold for 20 pieces of silver. I don't want the market here. Okay, so it was like $21, let's say yesterday, or about $21, times 20 pieces of silver. So he was sold for $420, okay, at today's market. So that's extremely low. Let's say Jesus was sold for 30 pieces of silver, which is 21, $630. I think they're worth more than that, right? I think our silver prices are extremely low. But anyway, so he was sold for 20 pieces of silver, all right? And then later, we see here in Genesis chapter 47, we'll fast forward to Genesis 41. And we're not going to read it here, but I want to give an account. Pharaoh had a dream, and ultimately it came down to he had a dream, and it was, you know, we had seven fat cows and seven, you know, skinny cows, and the seven skinny cows ate the seven fat cows, and he looked, what's this mean? So, ultimately, the word got around back to Pharaoh that this guy, Joseph, interprets dreams, and he's anointed of God. And so Joseph goes in, and he interprets the dream. And what happened was God moved Joseph to Egypt to provide for the people, because there was a gift on Joseph, not only for dreams, but administrative. God put an administrative gift on him. And so God gave Joseph wisdom to save the people from starvation. So what did he do? The Lord told him, you need, during those seven, you know, plenteous years, take that portion of that grain and save it, because then there's going to be 7 years of famine. Now, and then Joseph obeyed, right? Now, our charismatic minds, right? I'm gonna throw the religious aspect in there. We're gonna rebuke the famine, right? Hello? Then we look like morons. So, you know, we're gonna get out there, we're gonna rebuke the famine. We're gonna say, in the name of Jesus, this famine is gonna stop. God's plan was that they were gonna have 7 years of plenteous and 7 years of famine. It doesn't matter how much rebuking you do, it's going to happen, right? Because the Lord already spoke about it. And what was the avenue in which God was going to save his people? It was through an administrator like Joseph coming in. God put favor on Joseph to be able to set back. Now, why didn't he just save them where they were at? In Canaan. Why didn't he just do that? But instead, he pulled those people out. He pulled his family and the Hebrews out back into Egypt. And through Joseph, and through wisdom of setting grain aside that 7 years, he was able to provide the provision for the Hebrews and the Egyptian and save you know, thousands of lives during that time period. Why didn't they just say, I'm just going to rebuke it in the name of Jesus? So I'm just going to, they didn't have Jesus' name back then. We're just going to rebuke it or whatever. That wasn't the plan. Mm-hmm. I don't know. You know what? I've come to realize this many years walking with God, God's going to do things whether we agree with it or not. That's just the way it is. I mean, the sun's going to rise and it's going to set. And it doesn't matter how much faith I have or not, it's going to happen. Jesus Christ will return again someday, whether I have faith for it or not. Right? Hello? I mean, there's things that God is going to, he's going to do on his own, and he doesn't need my approval. And he doesn't need your approval, right? I'm preaching pretty good. Yeah, I'm telling you guys right now. It is pretty good, right? Yeah, I'm kidding. Yeah. I'm messing with you guys. All right. But, so God he sent that was the plan to save the people, right? It was not, let's fast forward to Exodus chapter 16. Different way God did it. See, we got to hear, what's God doing right now? What's he doing in this situation? And we need to be asking this right now in our current situation with all of this, all of the financial realm, all of the, you know, everything that's going on. We need to sit back and say, okay, God, what's your plan here? What do I need to do in this situation? Exodus chapter 16, verse 15. Now we see here, bringing up the speed, the Hebrews, the Pharaoh got tired of boils and shoveling dead toads and frogs and flies and all kinds of other stuff and rivers full of blood. And he got tired of all these plagues and he just said, just get out of here. So the Hebrews are kicked out of Egypt. Moses is leading them and they got nothing to eat. So what are they going to do? Well, let's see. Joseph put away 7 years and that, no, what's it say? And in verse 15, and when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, it's manna. Well, they didn't know what it was. And Moses said unto them, this is bread which the Lord has given you to eat. Now, wait, that's different plan than Joseph, right? Yeah. Now, wait. Now, they didn't go and say, okay, we need to find a Joseph here. Moses, you'll be the Joseph. Or how about you, Aaron? You'll be the Joseph. What we need to do is we need to pack our lunches before we go. There was no packing lunches. Like, either get out now or there's no getting out, because we know that the Pharaoh changed his mind. But what happened was God supernaturally dropped manna from heaven, and it was they describe it as like a sweet bread kind of is what it was. See, God supernaturally provided it at that time. There was no Joseph to show up on the scene, and there was no dream to show them what was going to happen. God just had them out there, and he decided, I'm going to do a miracle right here. Do you know what? God provided for the Hebrews during Joseph's time, and he provided for the folks when they came out of Egypt supernaturally. He provided for both, but he did it two different avenues. It's not the same. But what did God do? He was faithful to meet their need. So let me just say this. When I was at Rhema, there was a guy that gave his car away. And you know what happened? Somebody gave him a car. And then you know what happened? Somebody saw that, and he gave his car away, and he walked for 6 months. Exactly. So you don't know, you know, you can just copy everything. You see some minister out there, well, you know what? You just give until it hurts, and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, I'm going to eat. I'm going to stay at home and watch Jerry Springer and eat Cheetos and do nothing, and I'm just going to send checks to people. I'm sorry. You need to work, right? Okay, unless you're retired. All right. Well, the retired folks in here, well, it's okay. That's right. But you want some more? Matthew chapter 14. God is faithful, but he's going to reserve the right to do it the way he wants to. And he's going to reserve the right to use you the way he wants to. Matthew chapter 14, verse 17. This is Jesus feeds the 5,000, okay? You know, and I think God likes to shake things up just so we don't get in ruts.
Yeah.
You know, I think he likes to do things different so you're not expecting it. Why? Because we have to trust in him.
Yes.
See, if we got it all figured out, then that eliminates the whole faith thing and have to get close to him and everything else too, right? Matthew chapter 14, verse 17, it says, and this is the feeding of the 5,000. And they said unto him, we have here 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And Jesus said, you know, he said, hey, bring them here to me. And he commanded the multitude to sit down on the grass. And he took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes. And he looked up to heaven and he blessed and he broke it. And he gave the loaves to his disciples and the disciples to the multitudes. Here we go. And they did all eat. They were all filled. And they took up all of the remaining fragments and that remained 12 baskets in full. Here we go. And they that had eaten were about 5,000 men besides the women and children. So God does, you know, Lord does a supernatural thing and just feeds 5,000. The disciples keep breaking and keep breaking and keep breaking and keep breaking and keep breaking. And it's just supernatural, right? I know people this has happened to. Right? So this is happening today. I mean, I know people that this has happened to, right? Matthew chapter 26, verse 17. Don't you glad I don't get up here and use the, and God, and all this religious God. I like that religious stuff, you know? And God. I like drawing out God. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 17, this is the Last Supper, right? So they're eating again. There's a lot of eating going on in the Bible. I love it. Verse 17, now the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples came to Jesus saying unto him, where are we going to prepare for us to eat the Passover? Verse 18, he said, go to the city, such as man, and he'll give you 2 loaves and 2 fishes, and we'll break this thing and do it all over again. No, that's not what it says, is it? Saying to him, Master says, my time is at hand, and I'm going to keep the Passover at your house with my disciples. And the disciples did as Jesus had appointed them, and they supernaturally broke the bread and the fish, and it all multiplied. No, it says, and they made ready the Passover. Now, when the evening was come, they set down the 12 of them, and they ate. They prepared the food, right? There was no supernatural provision at this time. Hello? You notice how the Lord provides? He's still providing, but it's not the same avenue. It doesn't come the same way. And you know, the thing of it is, that's way the feeding of the 5,000, it came in the fact that Jesus was led to do these things. Luke chapter 4. Maybe I can squeeze some more in here tonight. Yeah, let's do it. Let's do it. Let's do it. Luke chapter 4, verse 1. This is exciting stuff. And when you start seeing these things, what happens is it helps remove the religious set. It frees you from being frustrated. Because, you know, when you get into this religious mindset, I'm going to pray, I'm going to say to this mountain, and I'm going to run off the mouth for 2 hours, and God's going to do something. And God's like, that's not the plan at all. God's over here. I'm in left field and you're in right field. What's the problem here? We're not even connecting. Luke chapter 4, verse 1, it says, and Jesus, full of the Holy Ghost, returned from Jordan and was what? Led into the wilderness. So we see that Jesus was baptized with John the Baptist baptized him. He came out of the water and it was full of the Holy Ghost. And I want you to see something. It says what? He was what? Led by the what? Spirit. We can say the Spirit of God into the wilderness. Now, who in the world wants to go to the wilderness? Right. If you don't have a gun or you're not hunting like Elmer Fudd, be very, very quiet. The Waskly Wabbits. No, Jesus wasn't doing that at all, was he? Who in their right mind wants to go into the wilderness when you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, right? Father, what about all the people? Why? I'm going to tell you why. Because, and then it says in verse 2, being 40 days tempted of the devil, and in those days he didn't eat anything, and when they're ended, afterwards he was hungry. Okay, you're God baptized in the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of God tells you to go to the wilderness, and you don't eat for 40 days. What is messed up with this plan, right? I mean, what is going on here? Guess what? The assignment was in the wilderness. Right? Can I just say something else for your charismatic minds? God led him into the battle. The battle was the will of God. I know we're trying to pray all the time to get out of the battle, but sometimes God's leading us into the battle. Right? I don't see anybody running. What's going on? I figured I'd be running and shouting and everybody happy. Sometimes it's hard for us to imagine that God is taking us into the battle, right? You know, I just say, I said this before, Vidar and I were in Africa over by Somalia, and it's very, very dangerous over there. And again, I said, but you'll go to, you've never been in when you're in like a third world country where you come up to these stops and you got military with AK-47s and you got belt-fed weapons on towers pointing down at you. I mean, all they have to do is just pull the trigger. We're gone. That car is up in flames. I mean, it's nothing because your life is in everybody's hands, right? Because if we make a wrong move or do something or they suspect something, it's dangerous. And not only that, there was a lot of hostility. I mean, what was it? One time, Vidar was there. He came from the north. We came up from the south this time. He came from the north, got done preaching, came down. The Muslims came in, burnt the church to the ground. I mean, it's not a real Disney fun place, family friendly, right? And so the UN troops are all over the place. And so there was a stretch of road. Once we get past the guard, he goes, you know, do you want one of us to be, you know, we got to pay him money, but we'll go with you and then we'll hitchhike back to the guard station. We're like, you know what, we're fine. When you go 20, 30 miles and you don't see a car on the road, it's dicey, okay? But on the inside, we had a green light. We just thought, we need to do this, right? Well, when we get there, again, these people are just, like I said, they didn't know anything. And people just get a Bible and they get saved and they just, I got to start a church, I got to do this, and they don't have any idea what's going on. And so there was a short window. Now it's closed off. Nobody can get back in. It's so dangerous. We can't get back there now. But there was a time period God needed us to get in there to do some things. And God is going, and I had Muslims trying to kick my door in at night and get into me. I mean, it's just crazy, you know, and I just took authority over it. But the reason why I was able to take authority over it and God did supernatural things there was because it was his will for us to do that. You understand?
Yeah.
I knew on the inside, we both knew that it was dangerous, but it was worth the risk, right? It was worth it. And so, you know, the Lord supernaturally protected us. Even our food, we never got sick, didn't do anything. It was just, our food was blessed the whole time. Why? And we ran out of water one time, and it was just, you know, when you got 100-degree weather and you're like nowhere around, we ran out of, so we had to purify our own water. It's just, you got to live by faith.
Right.
And there'd be a box, there'd be something running around the inside. I'm like, okay, God, I'm believing you. I don't know what's in that box, but we're having it for supper tonight, right? It's faith. Why? It's faith equals obedience. Can't separate the two. It's impossible. You know, Jesus just didn't go around and go, I'm just going to heal this person. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And he was like, what did he say? We read earlier. I only do and say what the Father tells me to do. I always think about things like, you know, when he's at the pool of Bethesda and the lame man says, I don't have anybody to help me into the pool. Well, and he was concerned that somebody's going to beat him there. Well, he healed that man there. Why didn't he heal everybody else? I don't know. I mean, I don't know. But it's God's will to heal. But then other times in the Bible, we see in Matthew chapter 9 and other places in the Gospels, he went into whole places and healed every single person there. Like, it says the entire multitude was healed. Like, he healed hundreds and thousands of people right there on the spot. Right? So, I don't know why. But God's going to do what he wants to do. And it doesn't mean that he's picking and choosing and everything else too. There's a will and there's a plan. And I believe, and this is about faith and connecting with him, this when we get down to one thing is we believe that God knows better than we do. That's it. That's faith. It doesn't make sense. Noah building a boat, it just sounds like just psychotic craziness all over again. But, okay. A few more scriptures. 1 Samuel 30. Everybody with me tonight?
Yeah. Amen.
Still love me?
Yeah.
Don't hate me yet? All right. Well, you know what? The Bible says you have to love me, so I'm just telling you. Sorry. Sorry. I just wanted to spring that on you, you know, just remind you. Put your tomatoes back in the purses. 1 Samuel 30. This is a great one here. Verse 1. Now, this is what David King David, they're out and about, him and his mighty man, they come back, and oops, everybody's gone. 1 Samuel 30, and it says, 3 days later, when David and his men arrived home at their city of Ziklag, they found the Amalekites had raided the city and burned it to the ground, carrying off all of the women and children. As David and his men looked at the ruins and realized what had happened to their families, they wept until they could weep no more. And then it says, David's two wives, Ahinoam and Abigail, were among those that were captured. And David was seriously worried, for in their bitter grief for their children, the men began talking of killing him. Here we go. But David took strength from the Lord. Skip down to verse 8. And David said, okay, guys, we're going to go get him. I'm just going to pray in the name of Jesus that this stops. They're going to bring him back. No, what did he say? David asked the Lord, shall I chase them? Will I catch them? David knew. See, can I just rewind here really quick? David knew that God was with him in the days when he slew Goliath. David knew that God was with him and his mighty men, because let me just say this too, this is a side teaching, but Goliath had brothers, and we see the scriptures. There was other giants that they chased down. Let me say, David was a bad dude during that time period. I'm just telling you what, the whole Middle East, when David's name came up, they were like, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. David took down Goliath, but the Bible says he couldn't take care of others. So the mighty men that were with him went ahead and killed off all the other giants. There's a number of giants in the land at that time. And so we've got one of the baddest dudes in that time period. I mean, he is just, you didn't mess with David. Just to back up here, David could not build the temple. That job was God had anointed Solomon to do because of the blood that had been on David's hands. David had a purpose. What was it? It was to suppress the enemies of God and provide a way so that Solomon could build the temple for the Holy of Holies and the Ark of the Covenant that Moses had built in his time and all of the articles with it, the red heifer, all of the things, the remainders of the Ten Commandments, everything that was in there, so that God's people could come and worship him in the temple. See, everything in the Word has a purpose. David's life had a purpose. He knew that I cannot build this temple because of the blood that's on my hands, because I've been a man of war. But Solomon came in during peace times and fulfilled things that only King David dreamed of. But we go on here, and it says that, shall I chase him? And the Lord told him, yes, go after them. You will recover everything that was taken from you. You know, think about this. David is in an absolute emotional hurricane right now, right? His wives are gone. His kids are gone. Everything's taken. I mean, they took everything. He's dealing with his own grief. And then I imagine he's probably trying to comfort his men. His men are angry. Now let's just kill David. Let's just get it over with. How could this have ever happened? And he's still coming back and said, okay, wait a minute. I got to drown the noise out. It says he encouraged himself. He's like, okay, I need to focus. Now, most people would just melt, have a nervous breakdown, right? It's like, wait a minute, I need to focus, I need to center myself, I need to say, okay, I need to go to God because he's the one that has the answer here, and he's going to back me up if he gives me the green light. And God gave him the green light, and then they got everything back, didn't they? Yes. But the key is, David could have went and said, I killed Goliath, and I killed lions and bears and tigers and oh my, and all these other things, and I'm going to just do that too. Well, that may not have been the plan. And David was smart enough and spiritual enough to go, okay, not everything's the same. All right, we'll close here. John, I'm halfway through, but I'm kidding. John 16:13. Howbeit, Jesus talking, the Spirit of truth. Everybody say the Spirit of truth.
Spirit of truth.
is come. He will what? Guide you into all truth. Everybody say, guide you into all truth. For he shall not speak of himself. Whatsoever he shall hear, he shall speak. And he shall what? Show you things to come. The Spirit of truth. Jesus is saying this, the Holy Spirit, he's going to have a ministry after me. And these things, he's going to be the Spirit of truth. He's going to show you things to come, right? What is he? He's going to reveal some things to you, truths. He's going to reveal things in your life, things you need. So again, as we close here, you cannot separate faith from obedience and being led by the Spirit. See, we can't dissect things that, well, I'm going to be led by the Spirit, and then you don't obey what the Spirit says. I found this out. If you stop obeying God and listening to His voice, He won't talk to you anymore. That's just it. I mean, if you can't do, you know, A, B, and C, He's not going to give you D, E, and F. And you're not going to make it all the way to Z. Hello? There are times where, you know, especially recently, I'm thinking about things, I'm praying about things, and all of a sudden, just like yesterday, I'm driving around, I'm like, okay, Lord, what do I do here? What do I do here? And He's like, okay, do this. And I didn't, see, the deceptive part goes, okay, is that just me or whatever? Because I ask Him, I'm like, Lord, I'm driving along, what do I need to do here? I need to do this or do this. What should I do? How much should I do this? Blah, blah, blah. And He's like, do this amount and do this amount. Okay. I can get in deception and say, well, was that really God? Was that just me? Was that just me? Was that just me? But you know, the more I do that and say, I'm making a decision, want to hear the voice of God, and I act on it, anytime I do ask Him, He answers me. Right? I believe we're going to need, in the days to come, we're going to need to be led by the Spirit. We're going to need to be obedient. Because, again, we say being led by the Spirit, because really what being led by the Spirit is hearing the voice and doing what the voice says. You are not led by the Spirit if you don't hear and you don't do. It just doesn't matter. Because then you're just, that's interesting. I don't ever remember anything in the Scripture that says God or Jesus said, well, let me think about that. Let me pray on that. Jesus never said, let me pray on that. What? It just says there in Luke chapter 4, it says the Holy Spirit led him into the wilderness and he went into the wilderness and then, again, God's not going to tell us to do fun things sometimes. We're going to have to do some things and sometimes sacrifice, but to go to the wilderness, that doesn't sound very fun. Not eat for 40 days. That sounds even worse, right? No Pizza Ranch. No Burger King, right? No Pizza Hut. No Olive Garden. What? I rebuke that devil in Jesus' name, right? No, the girls can't believe it. Because I've fasted, was it 30, 40, like 30-some days of fasting before, and the kids at their school just cannot believe that somebody would do that. They said they were lying. I'm like, all right. No, obviously I haven't done it lately. You can tell. I mean, you know, it's like, yeah, I don't believe me either. Whatever. But again, Lord tells you to do something. Are you willing to do it? And again, being led by the Spirit is hand in hand with obedience and faith. They all go hand in hand, right? And we're talking about the will for your life. Now, God doesn't care whether you drive a blue Chevy or a black Ford or, you know, what kind of clothes you wear or anything else, you know, because He said that He would make mansions for us. He said He'd prepare a place for us. So there's going to be mansions in heaven, those of us who are born again, that are specifically for our liking and our taste. That has nothing to do with it. God is not telling you, okay, you need to wear plaid today, you need to wear this, because people will go, well, I'm just going to be led by the Spirit. And if some guys, I mean, would be like wearing brown pants and green plaid. I mean, it's just, no. But we're talking about the will of God for your life, right? Things that He's speaking to you to do, we need to hear the voice of God and obey it. You know, the toughest thing is to sit back and say, I'm missing it, shift gears, and go down that path. It's easy just to stay in cruise control and just do what you've been doing, right? Well, I'm not dead yet, right? I mean, I haven't lost my home yet, or haven't done this yet, or haven't done this yet. Well, that's not an indicator at all. Because us obeying God, you know, Paul said, I've wanted, I've been naked, I've been hungry. Well, that's not, doesn't fit into the prosperity message. Right? Thank you, Paul, for being obedient. His sacrifice gave us 2/3 of the New Testament. He was able to get over his, you know, persecuting Christians and everything he did wrong. It's kind of, he was like the Hitler of the day that turned around to Jesus. You know, we always sit back and judge. Well, that, you don't know anything about that person. You, blah, blah. Oh, that person, this person, though. Well, Paul was a bad dude too. He thought he was doing right. And I always say too, you know, people can be sincere, but sincerely wrong. You know, you can be sincere in what you're doing, but you're completely off. Have I worn you out enough? Amen. Father, thank you so much. We glorify you tonight, Jesus. Father, we thank you. You are King. You are Lord. Tonight, we thank you. Right now, I just feel just led right now to pray that people here are going to be led by the Spirit. They're going to hear your voice. Amen. I used to pray all, the time in prayer school at Rhema. We would confess that we hear the voice of God and do. You know, one of the confessions we did we'll pay, we'll pray, and we'll obey. Amen? And I'll do all three. We say that all the time, right? Because you can pray, but if you're not paying and you're not obeying, hello? It takes all three, amen? We got to be active in our faith and everything that we do. The Bible says we're deceived. We don't. Father, I thank, my prayer tonight is just that we are absolutely in love with you, Father. We are, our absolute focus in life is obeying you, getting closer to you, Father, hearing your voice. We thank you, Holy Spirit, you're speaking to these folks loud and clear. Oh, we give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Amen. Hallelujah. Well, Wednesday night prayer. Amen. Hallelujah. Be there or be square.